Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur, take note, begins two lines from the bottom of daf Gimel Amud Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side of our marked daf, our Shas Ozer. We have a Mivneh heading, a structural note. Roman numerals 1 and 2 appear, and they represent Shnei Mekoyros Shebohem Muvoin Shiurei Zman Listira, or Ichud. Two Tanaic sources in which numerous Tanaic opinions will appear that feature how long is Stira, is the seclusion that would lead to the Sota ritual in the Beis HaMikdash after a woman was warned by her husband, the Kinui, not to be in seclusion with a particular man. What we're focusing on in our discussion now is how long is that seclusion period. Basically, it's enough time for an act of intimacy to take place. We've already discussed in the past the intimacy spoken of is a partial male insertion. This will be featured as we go on in the Gemara, and as we said, the amount of time is given not in terms of seconds on a clock, but in terms of analogies. And the thrust of the Gemara will be after presenting Tanaic source number one with numerous different descriptions of time. In fact, we've numbered up to 9 different analogies. The Gemara will then present Tanaic source number 2, the second to last narrow line on Daf Dalid Omid Aleph, in which the similar names appear, and yet it appears that different times are given, and hence the second Tanaic source, which we labeled as Roman numeral number 2, will appear to be contradictory to source number 1. And the job of the Gemara down through Daf Dalet Amud Aleph will be to resolve these sources. So now that we've mapped out the Gemara, we go into the text. Tanu Rabbanan. A zo hi edus Harishona. Reference was made to this in our previous year, and at that time we actually jumped ahead to this particular source. You have little arrows to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where this was referenced earlier. So what is meant by Edus Rishona? Zu Edus Stira. This, of course, was a term used in constructing or in attempting to construct a Kal Vachomer, which eventually was refuted by a Gzeres HaKosuv. But for our purposes, it's a term, and it is a reference to the testimony concerning the seclusion of the woman, the wife of so-and-so, with another man. Edus Achrona, that term that we also saw in our previous year, Zu Edus Tuma, that's a reference to the testimony concerning the actual act of intimacy if a witness, even a single witness, happened to see it. When we speak about the Sota process where the woman is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and made to drink from the special waters, that takes place only if there was Kinui and Stira without Edus concerning the Tumah. We continue at the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Kama Shior Stira. How long is this? How long does it take? Or how long is the seclusion that would then warrant bringing the woman to the Beis HaMikdash? the Tosfos on the top makes a significant technical point. The Tosfos says, it says that Kol Eilin Shiur and all of these time analogies that we will see, Achar HaTorah Sinar. It's after the woman removes her clothing, which of course then enables the act of intimacy to take place. So we're not factoring in the amount of time that leads up to the act, but the time for the act itself. So how long is Shiur Stira, the amount of time that they would be in seclusion that would warrant the Sota process to continue? Kedei Tuma, Kedei Bia, Kedei Ha'ra'a, Kedei Ha'kofas Dekel. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Notice the whole string of terms, and the Gemara after the Tanaic source, you can skip down to where the frame ends, and you see the Gemara asks the Chol Hani Lomali, what do I need all of these different time descriptions for? But in the meantime, we're going to just translate the source, and after asking how long is the time of seclusion, so it's enough time, Kedei Tuma, enough time for intimacy, and that is Kedei Bia. Bia is the actual act. And Kedei Hara is a reference to what we mentioned a little earlier. It's a partial insertion of the male organ, not a complete consummated act of intimacy. And how long is that in terms of a time analogy? So the first opinion is Kedei HaKofas Dekel, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, the amount of time it would take to walk around to circumlocute a palm tree. The Rashi at the top, Kedei Tuma, Umahu Kedei Tuma, and what is meant by the amount of time for defilement, Kedei Bia, enough for intercourse. Umahu Kedei Bia, and what is meant by that in Sota terms, Kedei Ha'ra, Dehainu Neshikas Eiver Boisamokim. Rashi actually chooses one of two opinions in the Shas as to what Hara is. He says the amount of time for the male organ to have superficial contact with the female at her part or anatomical point of intimacy. That's Neshika. Neshika literally means a kiss, but a kiss is a superficial contact with the female. Ba'oisamokam, in that particular part of intimacy. The kamashi ra, and how long is that? Kedei hakofas dekel, she yuchal odom leilech sviva sadekel. Now, enough time for a man to walk around a palm tree. Kamfor shloma li lemisni kulon. The Gemara later will deal with why do I need all of these times when it. If you asked Kamo Shiur Stira, you could have said Kedei HaKofas Dekel, or you could have said Kedei HaRa. You could have been more concise than what we have seen here. But later we'll discover there is a necessity for all of this, we'll say, enumeration. Now we continue with the second opinion, Reb Elozer Omer, Kedei Mezigas HaKois. The Rashi says, Kedei Mezigas Kois Lemoizgoi B'mayim. It's the amount of time to dilute a standard cup. Ustam Kois Revius. Revius is a liquid measure. It's the amount of time to add water. Water was used to dilute wine. Wine in the time of the Gemara, when produced, was very concentrated. It needed to be diluted to make it palatable. So it's the amount of time to add the water to a cup. In fact, the times Rashi reveals to us that are given by each one of these Tanoim is of a highly personal nature. Namely, it's the amount of time that they, with their own spouses, require for achieving the Ha'arah, this initial intimacy. Number three, we continue in the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Kedei Lishtoso, enough time to drink the cup. Rabbi Ben Azai Omer Kedei Litzlois Beitza, the amount of time to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kedei Ligom'a, enough time to swallow it. Rabbi, to swallow an egg. and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer Kedei Ligmoa Sholosh Beitzim Zu Achar Zu. Enough time to swallow three eggs, one after the other. Rabbi Loza ben Yirmiya Oimer Kedei Likshor Gardei Nimo. Enough time to tie together strings on a loom. Chanan ban Pinchas Omer Kedei Shetoshit Yodo L'Soich Piyog Litol Kesam. Enough time for to put extend her hand into her mouth to remove a kesam, a twig, a small piece of wood that might have got stuck between her teeth. Flimo is a name. Flimo Oimer Kedei Shetoshit Yodo L'Sal Litol Kikar. Enough time to extend her hand into a basket and remove a loaf of bread from the basket. Even though there's no explicit proof to this last opinion of removing a loaf from a basket, there is nevertheless a hint in the pasuk to this time analogy. And what does the pasuk say? It says, "Ki ba'ad isha zoyna ad kikor lechem." So in this pasuk, you see a reference from Isha Zona. Zona is a woman who is promiscuous. For our purposes, it's a reference to intimacy and the term kikor lechem, a loaf of bread. So you see a hint in the pasuk to a relationship between bread and the act of intimacy. And in the source, so it was used as a time frame for fulfilling that act. By the way, later in the Gemara, this pasuk kivadi shazon akikor lechem will be the subject of a pretty extensive drushes, opening up a topic of discussion on daf Dalid Omid Beis. The Gemara continues, v'chol hani lomali. What do I need all of these terms that were mentioned in the beginning of this source, namely kidei tuma, kidei bia, kidei ara, tzrichi? And the Gemara answers I need all of them. Let me point out, as we did a little earlier, after the Gemara gets finished with this discussion, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2. And if you, we have a brackets that we've drawn into the Gemara, not necessarily for skipping purposes, but to enable you to see immediately that a second source will be presented with different times and hence representing a contradiction to what we have seen in the first source. But we continue in the Gemara with the question of why do I need all of the times mentioned in the Reisha? The Rashi says, "V'chol hani lomali lemisni bereisha." Why do I need to state all of those points in the beginning? Listen, shir stira equals kedei tuma, which is kedei hakofas dekel. See, Rashi's suggestion is a more brief presentation of how long the zman of stira is. It could have simply said the enough time for defilement, which is the amount of time to circumlocute a palm tree. The Gemara continues, tzrichi. And it answers, I need all of these times, because if I had not stated all of these, I would have come out with an erroneous conclusion. The Itana Kedei Tuma, had the response to the question of how long is the amount of time for seclusion, and answered it with the statement of Kedei Tuma, Have Amina, I would have thought, Kedei Tuma Sa V'Ar Tzusa. The amount of time, not only for the act of intimacy, but the amount of time that leads up to the act of intimacy. Man, woman, a husband and wife, before they, generally speaking, before they engage in the act of intimacy, there is what's called ritsui, where the man, and this is proper derech eretz, where the man speaks to, derech eretz means the proper conduct, where a man appeases his wife, speaks to her heart, maybe in common parlance, you might say some form of romanticism, which then leads to the actual act. So had the Gemara said that the amount of time for stira is kedei tuma, I would have thought it's quite a bit longer than the actual act itself, that it's a time frame that includes the ritsui, this kind of talking that occurs between couples before the act, plus the time for the act itself. Komash malon kedei bia. Therefore, the Tanaic source said that after saying kedei tuma, stira is defined by kedei bia, meaning for the act itself, without, let's say, excluding the ritsui time. The tana kedei bia, and had we left you with kedei bia and not any further, have amino kedei gemar bia, I would have thought that seclusion is the amount of time to achieve a consummation of the act of intimacy. Komashmon kedei ha'aro'o. Therefore, the source adds that information, the amount of time for achieving ha'aro'o, which is only, we'll say, partial insertion or even a superficial body contact with the male and female and their organs of intimacy, and not a consummation of the act. The ashmin and kedei ha'aro'o, and had the source said that the shiur stira is defined by ha'aro'o, havamino kedei ha'aro'o v'artzosa, I would have thought it's the amount of time for ha'aro'o plus the ritsui, that speech, conversation that takes place between the couple. Komash malon kedei tuma. The term kedei tuma is used to exclude that idea, namely that the stira is defined, the seclusion time is to include the ritsui, not so. V'kama kedei ha'aro'o, and now getting down to the, we'll say, the bottom line, meaning how long is the does it take to for a couple to do the act of ha'aro'o? Kedei ha'kofas dekel. Of course, this was the first in the list of nine opinions, the amount of time to walk around a palm tree. V'ramini. And now, as mentioned earlier, we present a Tanaic source. This is a little shorter. There are five opinions in this source, and it appears to be contradictory. The Gemara will spell everything out. So we continue. V'nistara, the pasuk speaks about the married woman going into seclusion with another man. V'kama shiur stira, how long is the seclusion that warrants the continuation of the sota process, which, by the way, we didn't mention earlier today, but we discussed it before in our previous shurim, that when a woman violates the warning and goes into seclusion, and there's testimony to this having taken place, she becomes forbidden to her husband until she drinks the water in the Beis HaMikdash. So how long is that seclusion time? Lo shomanu. We didn't hear how long it is. Kishomer v'hinit ma'ah. Ah, when the pasuk says and she became defiled, havi omer. Now we understand. Not from the term v'nistara, I wouldn't know. But the Torah mentions v'hinit ma'ah, havi omer kedei tuma, kedei bia, kedei hara, kedei chazoras dekel divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara is not going to go over the same questioning that we did already regarding the previous source regarding all of these terms, the tuma, bia, hara. We've taken care of that already. However, the amount of time, as defined by Rebbe Lezer, is the amount of time kedei chazoras dekel. The Gemara will become a little more precise when we get into it, but it has to do with a dekel, with a palm tree. What exactly does chazoras dekel mean? Let's wait till the Gemara deals with it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, the second opinion, Omer, he says, kedei mezigas hakos. This is a term we saw before in the previous source. Interestingly, in the previous source, it was stated by Rabbi Lezer. Here, Rabbi Yeshua says, the amount of time to dilute to add water to the cup. Ben Azai Omer, kedei lishtos, the amount of time to drink it. That's the amount of time for stira. And Rabbi Kiva Omer today lives lois base, the amount of time needed for roasting an egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera Omer today ligoma, enough time to swallow it. The Gemara continues raising all the problems that you might suspect already exist. Kosalka daitach, hainu hakofas dekel, hainu chazoras dekel. The thinking right now is that the term chazoras dekel that we saw in the second source, example number one, is the same as hakofas dekel seen in the original source. And we have a little arrows to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where that was mentioned, and it happened to be mentioned by Rabbi Shmuel in the first source. So the thinking right now is Chazoras Dekel and Hakofas Dekel are one in the same. The diamonds that you see, and there are quite a few of them, are explained on the side of our Gemara in the Mivneh heading. And by the way, if you don't have a marked Gemara, you might want to try to access one by contacting gmarkings@gmail.com. The diamond is featured under the Mivneh heading Hastirois bein Moker number 1, the Moker number 2, the Yishuvam, and their resolutions. So Stiros are the contradictions, and we'll see the resolutions as we go on. So, assuming for the time being that Hakofas Dekel and Chazoras Dekel are one and the same, Hosam, Omar Rabbi Yishmael, Kedei Hakofas Dekel, Upolig Rabbi Elazar Alei. In source number one, we saw Hakofas Dekel. That's something Rabbi Yishmael said. And that was opinion number one. And then opinion number two happened to be Rabbi Elazar, and he argues with it. In other words, Rabbi Elazar does not approve or doesn't accept that shiur, that time frame. Rabbi Elazar does not accept Hakofas Dekel. And Hacha, in source number 2, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Kidei Chazoras Dekel. And in source number 2, he says the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel said in source number 1, namely Chazoras Dekel, or which is assumed to be the same as Hakofas Dekel. So why is it that in source number 1, Rabbi Eliezer did not approve of that time frame, and in source number 2, he himself says that? Omar Abaye. Abai says they're not one in the same. Hakofa beregel, chazora beruach. Hakofa means walking around by foot. Beregel, by foot, walking around the tree. And chazora happens to be the amount of time that a palm tree sways in the wind. Now, when we speak about swaying in the wind, what do you mean by that? And here the Gemara zeroes in on it. Boy, Ravashi, chazora beruach. When you speak about, it's literally, it's return in the wind. What do you mean by its return in the wind? Two possibilities. The Gemara will not conclude which one, but the two possibilities are, Kihechi de'ozil v'hodar osi. You have to imagine a palm tree swaying in the wind. So, ozil v'hodar osi means the wind blows and it tilts the tree to one direction. Let's say it tilts it toward the east, and then it rebounds to the west. So it's a two-fro movement. Is that what chazora means? Oidilmo, or maybe it's a little longer than that. Kihechi de'ozil v'osi v'hodar koi beduchte, the amount of time for it to sway toward the east, then in the opposite direction to the west, and then straighten out. Koi beduchte literally means stand in its place. Teku, well, this remains unresolved. What exactly is meant by chazoras dekel? The Gemara continues. Hosam omar Rebbe Elazar kidei mezigas hakois. The numbering that you see here is designed to make it easier for you to find where things are referred to. So hosam means in source number 1, Rebbe Elazar mentioned that the time of stira is mezigas hakois. And Hacha, in source number 2, the same opinion, using a different time analogy, says kidei chazoras dekel. Why did he change? Or is that not a contradiction? Are they not two different times? The Gemara says, no, they're not two different times. Idi v'idi chad shiurahu. They are, they're two different actions, but they both take the same amount of time, so that there isn't any contradiction in Rebbe Elazar. Number, the next problem, Hosam, in source number one, I'm Rebbe Yeshua Kedei Lishtoso, Rebbe Yeshua is quoted as saying the amount of time to drink the cup, and we said the cup is a revius. And Hocha, in source number two, Omar, the same Rav, namely the same Tana, Rebbe Yeshua says, Kedei Mezigas Hakois, the time required to add water to the cup. The Gemara says, Ema, the more accurate presentation of Rabbi Yeshua is actually a combination of what you see in source 1 and source 2. It's the amount of time kidei limzoig vilishtos, the amount of time to dilute the wine, to add the water, and drink the cup. The Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text at the end of line Emo kidei limzoig vilishtos v'hai kidei lishtos et Gamaliel, when in source number one, Rabbi Yeshua said the amount of time to drink it, it's amazigah to come Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar appeared right before Rabbi Yeshua in source number one. Rabbi Yeshua, what Rabbi Lazar was opinion number two. He said the amount of time for mazigah. And Rabbi Yeshua is making his comment about drinking as a continuation of what Rabbi Lazar said. And that, and hence Rashi says, "Kamoisev Rabbi Yeshua v'amar shtiya nami bo'inonim amazigah." Drinking is required along with the diluting. Kedei maziga, the Tana Hocha bebas raisa, the term kedei maziga that's mentioned here in the second source, it's maziga ushtia ka'omar. It, again, it's a reference to the dilution and the drinking. The stam maziga lemishta miyadhu. The standard maziga is in order to drink it immediately. Sha'achar shemozgu, after you add water to the wine, miskalkin masho, it will go bad if you leave it. Hence, when we speak about adding water to the wine, it's like kind of obvious. It means you're going to add the water and drink it immediately. The Gemara asks a question. We go back to the Gemara text. With regard to Rabbi Yeshua, who in source 1 said kidei lishtoso, and in source 2 he said mezigas hakois, and we said that the true opinion of Rabbi Yeshua is combining both actions, why give that answer? Why not give the answer that we gave just before to the shita of Rabbi Lezer, the difficulty with his shita, and say the same thing over here with Rabbi Yeshua, v'leimo idi v'idi chad shi'urahu. Why not say that the drinking time and the dilution time are actually one and the same? Instead of combining them to make a longer amount of time, just say that shtia and maziga are one and the same. The Gemara says you can't use that answer, because if you are going to say that, then im kain hainu Rabbi Eliezer. You go back to source number one. Opinion number two was what? Was Rabbi Eliezer. And he said, kidei mezigas hakos. If you're going to say that the time that Rabbi Yeshua gave of drinking is the same amount of time as dilution, so then there's no difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. They're saying one and the same. Why would they both appear then? Now, if they both appear as a standard procedure throughout the Shas, two opinions appear in the same Tanaic source, they are there because there is a difference between them. So we could not give the answer of Idi V'Idi Chad Shi'ura with regard to Shtia and Maziga. We continue. Hassam Omar Ben Azai, in source number one, opinion number four, Ben Azai says that Stira is Kedei Litzloi Spetz, all the amount of time to roast an egg. Ha-ha, in source number two, opinion number three, he says, Kedei lishtoisoi, the enough time to drink a cup of wine, the revius. The Gemara says, Idi v'idi chad shi'urahu. Tzlias beitza, the roasting of the egg that Benazi spoke about in source one, and the drinking of the cup Benazi speaks about in source two, are really one and the same, time-wise. Hasam Omar Rabbi Akiva Kedei Legoma. In source 1, opinion 5, Rabbi Akiva appeared. He says the amount of time to swallow an egg. And Hocha Omar Kedei Litzlos Beitza. And in source number two, opinion number four, Rabbi Akiva, he says he gives you a different time analogy, namely enough time to roast the egg. The Gemara answers, Amar Kedei Litzlos Beitza Ulegoma. What Rabbi Akiva really means is the amount of time, not just to roast the egg, but to roast the egg and consume it. Question. Velema idi v'idi chad shiuruhu. Why can't we say that as far as the different analogies Rabbi Akiva gives you in source 1 and 2, instead of joining the two times together, just simply say that each one is the same as the other? The same kind of answer that we saw earlier. The Gemara says, the Gemara answers, we cannot say that for Rabbi Akiva, because in Cain, if you're going to say that Tzlias Beitza and Gemias Beitza are one and the same, well then, Hainu Ben Azai, then Rabbi Akiva is going to end up saying the same thing as Ben Azai. And why is that? So we go back to source number one. What did we see in opinion number four? So Ben Azai saying the amount of time to roast an egg. And Rabbi Akiva is saying the amount of time to swallow it. If you're going to say that roasting and swallowing are really one and the same, so Rabbi Akiva is not saying anything new. He's saying the same thing as Ben Azai. And as we said before, you're not going to have two opinions in the same source saying the same thing. Hasam Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Kedei Ligmoa Sholosh Beitzim Zuacharzu. In source number one, opinion number six, we saw Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra saying enough that stira, seclusion between involving the married woman and another man, is the amount of time to swallow three eggs one after the other. And Hocha Omar Kedei Ligmoa. And in source number two, opinion number five, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra appears saying enough time to swallow one egg. Well, that clearly would be a contradiction. The Gemara answers, L'dvorav de Rabbi Akiva Ko'omar. What we see in source number one, where Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says the amount of time to swallow three eggs, it's not a reflection of his own opinion. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra in source number one, opinion number six, is coming on the heels of Rabbi Akiva, opinion number five. Now, how did we explain Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva in source number one, we have already explained as saying the amount of time to roast an egg and swallow it. In effect, stira is defined by two different actions combined: the action of roasting plus the action of swallowing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, opinion number six in source number one, is addressing Rabbi Akiva. L'dvorav de Rabbi Akiva komar, de ka'omar, Rabbi Akiva said, misharin b'tzliyo v'gmiya. As we explained, Rabbi Akiva defines stira by the amount of time to roast and swallow. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, eimo shiur gmiya l'chuda, kedei l'gamea sholosh beitzim zu achar zu da'ayinu tzliyo gmiya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is suggesting to Rabbi Akiva, instead of defining stira by two different actions combined, speak about one action, namely the action of swallowing, which, if you want to speak about how long is stira, and you wanted to say it's defined by roasting and swallowing one egg, stay the amount of time to swallow three eggs, one after the other, which is the same as tzliu gemia. But what the advantage Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra feels, the advantage of saying it like this, is that you are stating one action. In source number one, opinion number seven, Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiya Omer Kedei Shikshor Gardei Nimo. Now here we're no longer dealing with contradictions, but rather definitions. And hence you don't see any more diamonds, but rather we continue with the an explanation of the time analogies. In source one, Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiya said the amount of time to tie together the strings on a loom. That's Gardei Nimo. Boy Ravashi, de merchak o de mikrav, the strings spoken about that you are tying together on the loom, are they distant from one another, or are they close to one another? And if the strands are distant from one another, so that would require more time, and hence the amount of time for stira would be longer. Well, teku, this remains unresolved. In source number 1, opinion 8, Chonin bar ben Pinchas, o mekadesh toishit yodol l'sot piyov lito kesam. The amount of time, what is stira? Time-wise, the amount of time for a woman to extend her hand into her mouth and remove a splinter from between her teeth, a twig, a splinter, a toothpick from between her teeth. Boy, Rav Ashi, demahadek o delo mahadek, in the removal of this splinter from between her teeth, is it a splinter that's wedged in tightly or loose? Teku. And that remains unresolved. In source number 1, opinion number 9, the last opinion, Flemo, as we mentioned, that's a name. Flemo, Omer, Kadei, Shetoshet, Yadol, Lasal, Lito, Kikar. The amount of time to extend her hand into a basket and remove a loaf. Boy, Rav Ashi. And here are a series of questions to define down to the, create a precise definition as to what Flemo is referring to. So Rav Ashi says, he asks, Demahadik o Delo Mahadik? Is the loaf that's in the basket, is it wedged in? Mahadik means it's tight fit, it's wedged in amongst other loaves, or is it not? Another question that needs defining is Bechadato Batika. Is it a new? Chadato means like the word Chadash. In Aramaic, the tough can be interchanged with the Hebrew, the shin, and you get the word chadash. So is it a new basket or an old basket? An old basket is smoother, and hence things will slip out of it faster. So if you have a loaf that's wedged into a basket, let's see on this, wedged in, it has contact with the side of the basket. If it's a new basket, it'll take a little longer to slip the loaf out of it than if it's an old basket, which is, as we said, its sides are smoother and hence more slippery, enabling the loaf to be removed faster. Another question, b'chamima o b'karira, the loaf in question, is it a warm loaf? It's chamima, cham, is it warm, fresh out of the oven, or is it karira, is it has cooled off? If it's a cooled off loaf, Rashi explains it's easier to take it out, as a warm loaf is something that could fall apart and crumble, and therefore you have to take, if you want it to remain whole, you have to take it out slowly. A karira, it's solidified, and hence you can remove it faster. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. B'dechiti o b'desairi, the grains used to make the bread, is it wheat bread or barley bread? And Rashi says that wheat bread will slip out faster than barley bread. Berechicha o bakusha. Rechicha means soft, or as opposed to akusha means hard. And Rashi says on the second line from the top, Rechicha nishma yoyser me'akusha. Rechicha shemiloisha iso o iso raka. It's a type of a looser batter, creating a type of loaf that will slip out more quickly. Regarding these questions, teku, they remain unresolved. Omer of Yitzchak bar Yosef Omer of Yochanan kol echod v'echod be'atzmoi shir. We saw this point in Rashi. Of course, Rashi didn't make it up; he got it from right over here. I'm referring to the Rashi that we saw in the first narrow line on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara says that each one of the times given were times that were their own experience of each one of the Tanoim. The Gemara asks, these are actual personal times, Vayikra ben Azai de lo nosiv. Amongst the different names that we saw was that of ben Azai, and he was known to have been unmarried. Well, how do you account for ben Azai giving you a time frame for something that he didn't himself experience? Number one, Iboy Seim Onosivu Piresh Havet. One opinion is, or one approach is, that in fact he was married, but he separated from his wife. Viboy Seimo May Rabbe Shmiele. Ben Azai was simply transmitting that which he heard from his rabbi, from his teacher. Number three, Viboy Seima. A third approach is, it's true that he didn't experience it. He was, let's assume he was never married, and he didn't have a formal communication from his teacher. Nevertheless, Soyid Hashem Li Reov. The secrets of God are known to those that fear him. So that a person of Ben Azai's stature, being the towering, majestic, Talmudic figure that he was, knew things that the, let's say, ordinary people would not know unless they actually experienced it. Not so in the case of the likes of Ben Azai. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading on the side. Ha'ichel lechem b'li netilas yadayim. One who eats bread without washing his hands, the ritual hand washing that Judaism demands before the eating of bread, we call that netilas yadayim. We will see comments made regarding one who eats without doing that. I'm sure you're wondering what in the world is the Netilas Yadayim doing in this particular Gemara. It will become fairly obvious in a few lines when you see the very same pasuk that we made reference to back on Omid Beis at the end of the first Tanaic source. This say serves as the basis for this particular drasha. Take note of the Mivne heading, the structural note. A diamond appears, and they represent Shnei Drochim Lidroish HaPosuk B'Mishle, two approaches in darshaning the Posuk in Mishle that says, Ki Ba'ad Isha Zoino Ad Kikor Lechem, the Posuk that we referenced earlier. A double underline will also appear, highlighting the expression kol and describing netilas yadayim, memros beginus misha'eno zohir benetilas yadayim. These are comments that deprecate or disparage one who eats without, one who is not careful with the hand washing before consuming bread. We turn to the Gemara. Dorash Rav Avira, Zimnin Omar Le Mishmei Rabami, V'Zimnin Omar Lo Mishmei Ravasi. Rav Avira lectured, sometimes saying in the name of Ravami and sometimes in the name of Ravasi. Kol ha'ichel lechem b'loy netilas yadayim. He who eats without washing, he eats bread without washing his hands. Netilas yadayim, again, doesn't mean just taking some soap and holding your hands under a running faucet, but rather it involves filling up a cup, a vessel, and pouring it in the proper way over one's hands before consuming bread. So one who eats bread without doing that, ki'ilu bo al isha zoyna, he's characterized or described as if he had intimacy with a harlot. Shenemar, ki ba'ad, isha zoino, ad kikor lechem. The drosha in this pasuk is basically a drosha, as you can see in Rashi, misefe lereshe, meaning we're focused on the end of the pasuk, and work your way backwards. Namely, the word lechem, bread, appears at the end of the pasuk, and that for eating bread without washing your hands, then you go backwards in the pasuk, it's like the isha zona referred to earlier in the pasuk. Omar Rava. Rava says that if this drasha were really accurate, hai be'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem, the pasuk doesn't reflect what was said. It should have said, in order to grammatically reflect what Rabbi Avira was saying, it should have said, Be'ad kikor lechem, ad isha zona, meaning, because of the kikor lechem, you will come to harlotry. Miboyale. That's what it should have said. Elo Omar Rava. Therefore, Rava, and here you see the second diamond, a second approach to that. It says, Kol Habo Alisha Zona, one who has intimacy with a harlot, L'sof mevakesh kikolechem. He'll become impoverished, and he'll end up begging for bread. Rashi elaborates on the issue, but for our purposes, we've presented two different approaches in what this pasuk ki ba'ad ishazona an kikolechem, what it might be teaching us. Omer Reb Zrika, Omer Reb Elazar, kol hamezalzel b'netilas yadayim ne'ekar min ha'olam. One who eats constantly without washing his hands, he is uprooted from the world. Omer Reb Chiya bar Ashi, Omer Rav. Mayim Rishonim tzorch shiagbia yodav lemala. Mayim Rishonim is a reference to the hand washing that one does before eating bread. Before eating bread, one's hands are said to be tomei. There's a rabbinical defilement that's associated or attached to one's hands before he washes them. The initial washing or splashing of water over the hands, that water then absorbs the tuma that was on his hands. So in order to make sure that the tuma doesn't, the water that's tummy doesn't, let's say, after he washes it, then defile his hands again, we say he should raise his hands upwards, making sure that the water runs off his hands, away from his hands. Mayim achronim tzorch shiyashpil yodav lemata. The mayim achronim is a reference to the hand washing that one does after a meal, after he ate a meal with salt, melach stomis, that salt that one consumes during a meal might, if it gets into one's eyes, could result in blindness and the need for having clean hands for reciting the Birkas HaMazon. We have mayim achronim. So when washing mayim achronim, literally the end waters, the water at the end of the meal, then you should lower your hands downwards for the water to drip off. Now, in the first case of the Mayim Rishonim, the raising your hands above would guarantee that any tomei water that might have reached your hands and then run above your wrists, if your hands were held in a downward position, the water that became tomei upon reaching your hands, the tumah, by the way, of hands is a tumah that extends just till the wrist, so that if you wouldn't hold your hands upwards but rather downwards, the water that may have reached your hands, gone a bit above your wrists in that initial washing, becoming tomei, the water having removed the tumah from your hands, the water itself becoming tomei, if you would hold your hands in a downward fashion, the water might run back from above your wrist down to below your wrist, thereby defiling your hands again. So we want to make sure that doesn't happen, so we say hold your hands from Mayim Rishonim in an upwards position. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that refers to the Mayim Rishonim supporting what Rav just said. What does the Braisa say? Hanotel Yodov, one who washes his hands, Sorch Shiagbi Yodov Lamala. He has to raise his hands upwards. Shemo Yetsu Hamayim Chutz Leperek. As we just described, the water upon the initial washing might go, it'll splash on your hands and then run above the perek. Perek is the joint, the wrist. V'yachzru v'yitamu es yodayim. And if you would not hold them upwards, but rather in a downwards position, that water that ran above your wrists, containing tuma, will then run back down onto your hands and redefile them. Omar Rabbi Avo, kol ha'ochel pas below niguv yodayim. One who eats bread without drying his hands, kilu oichel lechem tomei. It's as if he's eating defiled bread. Shenemar, vayoymer Hashem, kocho yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eslachmom tomei. The Rashi explains regarding the need for drying the hands on the first wide line under the Gemara text, kol ha'ochel below niguv yadayim dover molsu v'choshuv ketuma. It's using wet hands and holding bread makes the bread disgusting. and it's and because it's ma'us, because it's disgusting, it's parallel to something that's defiled. Now, where do you see that in the pasuk? So, the pasuk said, "Kocho yochul bnei Yisrael slachmon tome." It's my opinion, one should actually read the pasuk just before this. This pasuk was pasuk yugimel. Now we need to see the word tome in pasuk yugimel. If you add to this that which it says in pasuk yudbeis, it says v'ugas sa'irim. If we included this on the side of the Gemara, you can see where we have a star. It says v'ugas sa'irim toichleno. Pasuk describes bread that's baked in human feces that seems to be used as fuel, which is something that's disgusting. So that you see in the juxtaposition of these verses, Pasuk Yud Beis with Pasuk Yud Gimel, something disgusting together with something that's tome, and hence the idea of eating wet, soggy bread because you didn't wipe your hands is considered as if you're eating something that's defiled. The soggy bread is that which is disgusting. That is what I think is referred to in Pasuk Yud Beis, and in Pasuk Yud Gimel you have the reference to Tumah, something defiled. The Pasuk that we referred to earlier in Mishlei, Perek Vav, the end of the pasuk says, and here the Gemara asks, "Umay ve'eshes ish nefesh yikara tatsud." What is meant by that? Eshes ish is a married woman. Nefesh yikara tatsud. We'll have to wait for the Gemara to offer explanations. Before we go further, we glance at the side. We have a nosei mivne heading, and we also indicate ad daf hey. This marking scheme will continue till daf hey. What do we see? We have a triangle with a squiggle underline featured. Kol adam sheyesh bo gasas haruach. We have a very long discussion, and because we're dealing with a very, very problematic attribute in man, and that is the attribute of gasas haruach, the attribute of haughtiness. So this will be a topic that will run it over into essentially into our next shir, which will mirtz Hashem cover daf hey. But here we begin it. So with the question in mind of what does v'eishes ish nefesh yikara tatsud, what does that mean? Om Rav Chiya bar Abba, Om Rav Yochanan, kol adam sheyesh bo gasas haruach lebesof nichshal v'eishes ish. You'll notice, by the way, that we have a little aleph here. This will be the first of two approaches to darshaning this particular pasuk of v'eishes ish nefesh yikara tatsud. So the first approach, that of Rabbi Yochanan, is anyone who has in him haughtiness, the attribute of haughtiness, lebesof, he will eventually stumble over the sin of intimacy with a married woman, obviously someone else's wife. Shinemar, v'eishes ish nefesh yikara tatsud. The nefesh yikara, without translating things literally, it is a reference, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to a person of a, we'll say, of a haughty spirit. So the gas ruach, the person of haughtiness, will entrap a married woman. The Rashi, on the third wide line under the Gemara text, says, L'soif nichshal be'eshes ish, the Hochi Komar, and the understanding of the pasuk is as follows: Biad Isha Zono Ad Kikor Lechem, which was the beginning of the pasuk. We saw that already. The Eishes Ish Zono Nefesh HaYikora HaGavoa. Yikora, in this context, means the haughty. Gavoa means high in the sense of haughtiness. Nefesh Yikora HaGavoa He Tetsudeno. This lofty or high, haughty spirit will entrap her. Roidef achareha v'tzod oiso magia, will pursue, end up pursuing her, the married woman, and he will end up sinning with her. Okay, that having been said, Rava responds, Omar Rava, hi nefesh yekara, nefesh gavoa mi boyale. If you're speaking about haughtiness, the more appropriate term would have been nefesh gavoa instead of nefesh yekara. The ode. And furthermore, if Rabbi Yochanan's drush is correct, here's a grammatical observation. If we were to accept Rabbi Yochanan, he tatsud mi boyale. The language of the pasuk should have been he tatsud. And Rashi elaborates on this. Let's look at the Rashi together. He tatsud mi boyale. We're looking at Rashi on the fourth line under the Gemara text. Kevon de misefe lereshe kodarshis. Since you were explaining the pasuk from end to beginning. Now the pasuk had said, Eishas ish nefesh yikara tatsud, and you, Rabbi Yochanan, were saying the nefesh yikara, which is found at the end of the pasuk, nefesh yikara, the haughty spirit. Now you work backwards in the verse to the term eishas ish, means that the haughty spirit will entrap the eishas ish. Well, since you're darshaning in that fashion from end to beginning, hachi iboya lei lemichtav, the pasuk should have phrased itself thusly: the eishas ish. Nefesh yikara, he tatsud osa, which would mean a married woman, the haughty spirit will entrap her. The word he would be then a focus on the nefesh yikara. The nefesh yikara, the haughty spirit, it will entrap her, the married woman. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. Avol hashto mashma, but at this point, the way the pasuk is stated in actuality, it seems she'eshes ish tzoda es hanefesh hayikara. The impression given here is that the married woman will entrap the haughty, the nefesh yikara, which we have to leave undefined for the moment. Therefore, let's go back to the Gemara. Rava raised two objections to Rabbi Yochanan's drasha. Therefore, on the last narrow line of the Gemara, Ela Omar Rava, Kol Habo Al Eishes Ish. And here Rava darshans, he explains the pasuk in its actual order, meaning we first focus on Eishes Ish, which comes earlier, that anyone who has intimacy with a married woman, Afilu Loma Torah, Dechtiv Bo Yikara Himit Nimim Koyin Godol Shenichnas Lefneu Lefnim. Even if he happened to be someone who was a Torah scholar, someone who learned a lot of Torah, even if he learned Torah, Torah is described by the word Yikara. And there's a drasha that the Gemara here makes reference to. It's found in a more elaborate fashion elsewhere, and that is that a person who studies Torah, even if he happens to be a mamzer, and Rashi makes reference to this, he's himself an illegitimate individual. He was born through parents that engaged in forbidden relations. That person who is a mamzer, he's illegitimate, but he has studied a lot of Torah, and as he himself didn't sin, he's a product of an unfortunate circumstance. So he, a mamzer who studied a lot of Torah, is called Yikara, whereas I should say the Torah that is contained with him is called Yikara, the Torah which is more valuable than pearls, than gems. The word mipninim is an association. We just translated it literally as gems or pearls, but it's a reference to the Kohen Gadol. Mi Kohen Gadol shenichnas lefnim means the Torah is more valuable than a Kohen Gadol who enters the inner sanctum. Pninim also has the word pnimi in it, meaning inner sanctum. Lefnim means inside, and the inner sanctum of the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol would enter there once a year on Yom Kippur, which is the highest form of ritual in the Jewish calendar. And even so, Torah is more significant. So we go back to our pasuk of the Eishes Ish, one who has intimacy with a married woman, even if he happens to be a nefesh yikara, an individual who studied a lot of Torah, he Tetsudenu Ladino Shel Gehenim. The act, that forbidden act, will trap him, will capture him, and drag him to Dino Shelgehenim, to being prosecuted in purgatory or punished in purgatory. Omer of Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, you notice we have dashed underlined Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai because, and also we numbered, this is number one, two lines later, Rabbi Yochanan appears, and there he's not quoting someone else, but he's, D-Day means he's saying on his own. So, number one, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasis HaRuach, anyone who has within him haughtiness, Ki'ilu Oyved Avodas Gechavim. He's compared to an idol worshipper. Siv Hocha Toavas Hashem Kol Govalev. It says in this pasuk that the Govalev, we saw Govala before, meaning haughtiness, high or haughtiness, is considered an abomination. And the pasuk, by the way, goes on to say, and we'll need this later on. It says Yad Liyad Lo Yinakeh. But for the time being, we want to focus on the word to'eva. And there, in the context of idolatry, it says, do not bring the abomination into your house. So that it's compared, idolatry is compared to haughty spirit. Or more accurately, the balgaiva, the haughty man, is considered like an idol worshipper. The next approach, Rabbi Yochanan Didei Omar Ki'ilu Kofar Be'ikr, one who is of haughty spirit, is considered as if he has denied the existence of the Almighty altogether. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'rom Levavcha, Rom is an expression of haughtiness, of highness, V'rom Levavcha Shachachtos Hashem Elokecha, and you forget the Almighty. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Omar Ki'ilu Bo Al Kol Harayas. Haughtiness is analogous to one who has sinned in having intimacy with all the forbidden relatives. K'siv Hocha To'avas Hashem Kol Govalev. Here in the context of haughtiness, it says that To'avas Hashem, it is abominable one who is of haughty spirit. K'siv Hosam, and in the section of the Torah dealing with forbidden relations, it says kol ki es kol ha to evos hoel, all of these abominations, the forbidden intimacies. Ulo amar ki ilu bono bomo, one who is a baal gaiva is like one who erected a forbidden personal altar. Shenemar chidlu lochem mino odom Asher nishama biapo ki vameh nechshav hu. Al tikri bameh elo bomo. Now the pasuk makes reference to the person asher nishama biapo. That's the reference to a haughty spirit. And ki bameh, instead of reading bameh, there are no vowels in the scriptures, so you can read the word as bomo. He is considered like a forbidden altar. And Rashi says, "Boma avodas gechavim," an altar erected for the purpose of idolatry. My yad liyad lo yinakeh. If you noticed before, we made reference to the continuation of the pasuk of Tovas Hashem Kol Govalev in Mishlei Perek Tezayin. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see the parallel arrow before. So hence we're asking, what does the continuation of that pasuk mean when it says, Yad liyad lo yinakeh? Just to review, the pasuk spoke about in Mishlei Tezayin, it said, Tovas Hashem kol govalev, Yad liyad lo yinakeh. Omar Rav. And before we go further, you'll notice on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The double underline represents drushes al haposuk yad liyad lo yinakeh. These are different drushes regarding that posuk. The bow tie highlights the word afilu, which you'll see a repeating type theme, and the volcano shape introduces, we'll say, it says kashilu. After we see each drusha, a question will be presented leading us into a new drusha on that pasuk. So we continue here with what does Yad Lo Yinakeh mean, Omar Rav. And here we're going to be changing the Gemara text based on the Bach, which keeps the, we'll say, the drasha in the same theme as above. Kol sheyesh bo gasis ruach, anyone who has haughtiness in him, and that is what the gavalev meant at the in the beginning of that of the pasuk that we're focusing on right now. So anyone who is haughty, afilu hikneu lakolish baruch hu shamayim v'oretz kavram avinu, even if he acknowledges the Almighty as being the one who created heaven and earth, who Rashi says hikneu lakolish baruch hu shlito, it means to give command to, in other words, to acknowledge the Almighty as being the one who runs the cosmos. That's the konei shamayim v'aretz. So even one who acknowledges the Almighty as being the master of heaven and earth, like Avram Avinu acknowledged the Almighty's mastery, d'chtiv bei harimoisi yodi el Hashem kel elyon konei shamayim v'aretz. So we're describing a person that has this was a wonderful attribute, wonderful achievement in acknowledging the Almighty's mastery of all. So even someone like that, lo yinake midino shel gehenem, will not be cleansed or be spared of judgment in purgatory. Now let's put some things together over here. So Rav was explaining yad liyad lo yinake. This yad liyad idea, according to Rav, is a reflection of the pasuk regarding Avram Avinu, harimosi yodi. You notice the raising of the hands heavenwards, acknowledging the Almighty's mastery of all. So even someone like that, yad liyad, lo yinakeh. Lo yinakeh means will not be spared of the din of Gehenna. Kashya luhu ledebei Rabbi Shiloh. And the yeshiva Rabbi Shiloh had difficulty with Rav's approach. Ha yad li yad lo yinakeh, yodi lo yinakeh mi boyale. If the pasuk is really referring to Avram Avinu in the pasuk of Harimosi yodi, it should have said yodi lo yinakeh. Yodi meaning the my hand that was raised, acknowledging the Almighty's mastery, lo yinakeh will not be spared of punishment in purgatory. But it doesn't say that. Elo Omar, Elo Amri Debei Rabbi Shiloh. So they give their approach to Yad Liyad Lo Yinakeh. Afilu Kibel Torah K'Moshe Rabbeinu. Even one who received Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, Dichtiv Bei, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Mimino Eish Dos Lomo. That from the Almighty's hand, Eish Dos, the fire of Torah was unto him. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from the Almighty. So even someone like that, that was Mekabel Torah, that received Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yinakeh midino shel gehenem, will not be spared of judgment in purgatory. So that, just to repeat, as far as the Bei Rabbi Shiloh is concerned, yad liyad is a hint, or as a reflection of mimino. Mimino is the right hand. So the receiving of the Torah from the right hand. Someone like that then will not be spared. Someone like that, namely that is haughty, will not be spared, even though he's received the Torah, will not be spared of Gehenna. Kashya lei l'Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, in turn, had difficulty with Bei Rabbi Shiloh. Ha yad liyad. The pasuk that we are focusing on uses the expression yad liyad. Yad miyad mi boyale. Moshe Rabbeinu's hand, miyad, who received Torah from Hashem, is what it should have said. If the Bei Rabbi Shiloh is correct, we're describing someone who received the Torah. That means from the arm, from the hand of Hashem, kiviyachol, so to speak, mi yad, it says yad, mi yad, from the hand of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Hashem. Well, that's what it should have said, but it doesn't say that. It says yad li yad. Elo Omer Rabbi Yochanan. The third approach to explaining yad li yad, we continue at the top of Daf Hei Omer Aleph. Afilu oise stoka beseser. Dichtivba matan beseser yichat af. Even one who performs the important commandment, the mitzvah of charity, charity given in private, that's stoka beseser, even if he takes the money with his hand and gives it, yad liyad, gives it to the hand of the impoverished, and someone like that, someone who practices charity in this very private fashion, so as not to embarrass the one receiving it, etc., not to draw public notice to his own mitzvah performance. So he performs mitzvah in the finest fashion, and regarding that, the pasuk says matan beseser, a gift given in private. That's the stock of the charity given in a private fashion. Yechape af is capable of assuaging wrath. Nevertheless, if he is haughty, lo yenaka midina shel gehenem, he will not be spared of judgment in purgatory. So with this approach, this third approach, we can see yad liyad lo yenake. Yad liyad means from your hand to the hand of the impoverished. You're giving of tzedakah even if you do it in the finest way. But if you have the midah, the characteristic of haughtiness, bad news awaits. Judgment in Gehenna. So, of course, we're all going to strive to fulfill these great mitzvahs, limud Torah, giving of charity, in a spirit of tznius, of anova, of humility, and that way, mirtz Hashem, will not have to experience dina shel Gehenna. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.